last day was supposed to be on Friday, but he had to come back and do a little more work before he got out of town. So,
never happens.
Thanks again for your help, Bill.
Thank
we
you,
look
Bill.
Forward
sure,
to
Bill.
Seeing you.
Happy trails.
He said he's coming back in September to visit.
Yeah, he'll be back in September to visit us all. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2759. Colleagues, this is the bill that we spent time on Thursday going through the amendments. What you have in front of you is a set of a Dash 26 amendment, which is the composite amendment.
Dash 2, Dash 9, Dash 18, Dash 19, Dash 21, Dash 22, Dash 23, Dash 24, and Dash 25. And please don't ask me where one begins and the other.
But this is the composite amendment of those that we looked at on Thursday. Also at your desk is a Dash 27 and Dash 28 amendment, which Representative Ackerman had prepared as part of his discussion last week. And, Representative, I understand it's not your intention at this point to offer either amendment. Is that correct?
No, I've talked to members of the task force and others, and I believe my questions were answered, and I will not pursue the amendment.
Okay. There are a couple of points in the amendment where there are blanks, and I want to go over those with the committee and see if we can come to a consensus about filling those blanks before we send the bill down to the Ways and Means Committee, because I think they're fundamentally policy choices that I'd rather have us make here, and then at least just guidance. They're certainly not going to be prohibited from changing some of those when they get down there if it's within their purview to do so, but I thought that we should talk about them. The first one is on page 56. If you turn to page 56 of the Dash 26 amendment, you'll see blanks on line 27 and line 29. This is one of the fee increases that was part of the Dash 2 amendment. It raises the amount that's collected by the filing fee by paid by a defendant at the time of filing the petition for a possession of marijuana diversion agreement from 212. The percentage increase would bump it up to 233. And then in sub A and sub B, it broke down the individual amounts, 112 and 100, keeping the same pro-rata distribution between the a Department of Revenue for deposit in the CFAA and to be distributed as provided for the disposition of costs under 156.630, those new numbers at the same proportional distribution would be $123 and $110. So I won't make that motion now, but it would be my intent to, if with the committee's approval, to fill those two blanks with those two amounts, which would keep the same proportional distribution of that increase. The next blank that I think the committee ought to address is on page 93 of the Dash 26 amendments in section 104. And this is this was part of the – let me see if I can borrow your sheet, counsel. This was part of the
– 25.
Was it part of the Dash 25 amendments?
Yes.
Part of the Dash 25 amendments that we reviewed on Thursday. And this deals with what the base fine amount is and the amount of discretion to relieve an individual percent of the base fine amount by a judge. And currently the language is at 50% of the base fine amount established for an offense under the relative statutes in reference to a Class A, B, C, or D violation. And then if you turn the page over on page 94, you'll find another blank, and it says, except as otherwise provided in 153, 125 to 145, the foundation amount to be used in calculating the base fine required in violation proceedings under this chapter is 40% of the maximum fine established by the violation. In conversations with the subcommittee chair of the Ways and Means Public Safety Committee, the numbers that I know he's been working off of to increase or produce the amount of revenue that he was hoping these amendments would produce anticipated, and I indicated to Representative Frozanski earlier today, a higher number than was accurate. My understanding is that it's actually on line 7, that amount would be a 75% of the base fine amount. And then on line 27, it would be 50% from 40 to 50% of the maximum fine established as the base fine for the violation. So those are the two numbers that I know in our discussions that he's been working with in some of the anticipation of the revenue impacts of the adjustments. So those are the blanks in the bill. Otherwise, I think, colleagues, you'll find that the bill is that the amendments are consistent with what we had talked about on Thursday, with a couple of the small changes that we had discussed actually having made to the bill on Thursday. I'd also point out that under advice from Legislative Council, and Mr. Hendricks is here to address this if there are any questions, that because of these adjustments, the bill will require a three-fifths majority when it gets to the floor, and so you just need to be aware of that. Questions, discussion by the committee with respect to the Dash 26 amendments?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Crummell.
On page 94, line 24, where the shall is being taken out and may is being put in there, is that going to make that permissive, or is that... still directive. So it basically says that the court still can't calculate using the maximum fine for the violation.
Right. My understanding is that that change is consistent with Legislative Council's overall change to using the word may that we've been seeing in a lot of the bills that have moved through this session, but that it doesn't change the permissive nature of the... or the non-permissive nature of the statute. Am I right about that, Mr. Hendricks?
Chair Williams, members of the committee, Dave Hendricks, Senior Deputy Legislative Counsel. That's correct. We actually passed the bill last session indicating that shall not and may not were equivalent phrases of denial of discretion.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, Dave. Further questions? Representative Prasansky.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the clarification. I still have to raise concerns, especially in Section 104. That's the one on page 93, line 7. Moving that up to 75%, my biggest concern is that it doesn't really give the court enough, in my opinion, enough discretion for them to actually apply a penalty that is appropriate for the offense and the actual individual that may be involved. Specifically, to me, there's only a 25% difference between a first-time offender and a repeat offender. And I in these type of cases, the ones that you're probably going to see a number of these on would be applying to people that are driving while suspended, DWS, violations. And it's not uncommon for a lot of the individuals that come through the courts that have this type of offense. Many of them are repeat offenders, and I think that there should be a greater differential for them having a much stiffer penalty than someone on their first offense. At least that's the way I'm reading, is that we would potentially say, or I would say that 75% of the base fine must be required in, at the time of sentencing. If that's the appropriate reading, then it seems to me that there's not enough discretion there for the court to, let's say, make certain that the offense and the penalty fits the crime as compared to someone else that may be a regular customer report.
Thank you, Representative. And I understand your concern about that. Obviously, you know, anytime we're limiting a certain amount of discretion, I think it's concerning. I guess I don't see, my own view is I'm not sure that I see a large distinction between, you know, where on the scale that goes, so long as the court retains some discretion to apply that in an appropriate set of fact circumstances. It would be my hope, obviously, on a repeat offender who is driving after their license has been suspended, that there wouldn't be any waiver of the base penalty. You know, once you've gotten your license suspended and you're still driving, I'm not sure what you know, short of, you know, you being the only driver and the person you're with suffering a massive heart attack and you're the only access to get them to the hospital, there are very few other things that I could imagine that would warrant somebody doing that would entice a judge to provide some amount of discretionary relief. Certainly, I think, you know, up to 25% of the base fine amount being waivable is still a substantial amount. that gives the judge some discretion. And while, you know, I recognize it's a change, and that's why I want us to be the ones talking about it and making the decision, I'm not sure that I find it as concerning as you do in the ultimate scheme. Neither do I have a problem with the calculation of 40 to 50 as a percent of the maximum fine established for the violation.
Mr. Chair, I can go with that. I mean, to me, the way I was looking at this, if we left it at 50% on the Section 104, and then just say that that's the amount that basically has to be posted, that's going to get a little bit more money in as to a requirement for the individual to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, taking again that example of DWS violation, that's a Class A violation, and my calculation says that a first-time offender who is found guilty is going to get a maximum or get a fine of $640 as a minimum. And then someone that has repeat two or three times, the only difference is $180. It's $720 under the new proposal.
Right.
And it also, the other thing, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure, and maybe counsel can tell us whether or not we're making any modifications to the ability for courts to use community service. Under current law, I believe they can assess up to 48 hours of community service on violations, and I'm not sure if there's any change in that since it looks like we're dealing only with the monetary.
Yeah, I don't believe there are any changes to that component. Further discussion, committee? Okay, any questions that you feel like you need answered from any of the folks who talked to us on Friday about the nature of the bill and the amendments? Most of those people are still here in the room. Okay, then with that in mind, if you'll turn back to me on page 56, the chair would move conceptually on line 27 in lieu of the blank following the dollar sign to insert the number 123, and on line 29 in lieu of the blank following the dollar sign to insert the number 110. Is there any discussion on that offered conceptual amendment? Is there any objection? All right, then the amendments are amended conceptually on page 56. And then if you turn with me to page 93, the chair would move conceptually on line 7 in lieu of the blank following the bracket of 50 to insert the number 75. We'll take these separately. Is there discussion on that conceptual amendment? Is there objection?
That could be registered for objection for that one.
Representative Przanski objects to that conceptual amendment on line 7. Seeing no others, the bill is conceptually amended. And then on line 28 of the dash 26 amendments, chair would move the insertion in lieu of the blank following the bracket at 40, the number 50 be inserted. Is there any discussion on that motion? Any objection? The amendment is conceptually amended. This will be the only amendment that, as Representative Ackerman has indicated, the 27s and the 28s he is not offering today. So with that, the chair would then move the dash 26 amendments to House Bill 2759 as conceptually amended into the bill. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Just to note the irony that the bill that this Guts and Steps originally amended ORS 3.255 to eliminate the language that says that judges of the circuit court need adequate court services to assist them in exercising jurisdiction over family and family-related matters.
Any port in a storm?
Not any.
All right. Is there any objection? Hearing none, then the dash 26 is conceptually amended, have been adopted into the bill, and now the chair would move House Bill 2759 as amended by the 26 is conceptually amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for catching me on that. Yeah, to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Pearson.
I apologize for being late, but if you could just orient me. The dash 26 is that have we already moved the other amendments, or does it include the other amendments?
Right. We did one amendment that includes everything else.
Okay.
So it's the entire package and one handy, easy-to-use amendment. All right, so it'll go to Ways and Means first. Representative Przanski.
Mr. Chair, it seems like this is the season for making sausage. I'll be supporting the bill, no matter what it smells like.
Well, thank you, Representative, and we hope it smells sweet to some. Anybody else? Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just point out I do have a problem with putting these fees in from a standpoint that it gives off the I think it gives off the appearance and the perception that we are alienating and putting out of reach the court system for some of our residents. But with that said, I also recognize that there is a need, at least in this upcoming biennium, that we're going to put these some of these fees in place that have not been there before. And I guess, you know, you sort of take the good with the bad. And so I'll support the bill and here in committee to move it to Ways and Means. And as long as the bill does not come to the floor with any substantial changes or any substantial changes in the percentages that we put in place today, I would support it on the floor as well.
Thank you, Representative. And I thank all the committee for working with us through on this process. It is a tough set of policy choices that most of us wish we weren't going to have to make, and I hope that when the bill comes out of Ways and Means, and I anticipate in a form, I'm hopeful that is identical to the one we're sending down to them, ultimately, that this committee will provide some assistance when the time comes for the bill to have its debate on the floor, because I suspect that it's going to take some of us to help explain to the body generally what this bill is attempting to accomplish, and you know the downsides of it, but also the upsides of it, given our situation. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to support the bill. I think it's really filling in some necessary money for the indigent defense, for example. And I share Representative Crummell's concerns, but I think more people will have access to court as long as it's open 5 days a week than if we have to shut it down due to lack of funds. So I think this is a good bill.
Thanks very much. Anybody else? Okay, Ann, call the roll.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Trumbull?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Krasinski?
Aye.
Representative Jennerly?
Aye.
Vice Chair Ackerman?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Anderson? Aye. Mr. Williams? Aye. House Bill 2759, as amended, goes to the Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you, Committee. Just for your information, I anticipate a couple of Judiciary Committee meetings this week. If not tomorrow, then anticipate a meeting on Wednesday and probably another meeting on Thursday as we're trying to wrap up some of the Senate bills that are still remaining within our jurisdiction. So keep apprised of the calendar when it gets posted. Thank you. We are adjourned.
You want to meet, right?